Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
And in this wonderful little book, Daily Strength for Daily Needs, which I read every day, I find this: truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. And that's from Jeremiah 10:19. Hold in thy murmurs, heaven arraigning. The patient see God's loving face, who bear their burdens uncomplaining. 'Tis they that win the Father's grace. And then a quotation from J.P. Greaves on the same page: do not run to this and that for comfort when you are in trouble, but bear it. Be uncomfortably quiet. Be uneasily silent. Be patiently unhappy. I think we need exercises like that. I think it is high time we stopped whimpering and sniveling over our troubles and be uncomfortably quiet, be uneasily silent, be patiently unhappy. But keep it to yourself. Surely I have thought I do not want to have a grief which would not be a grief. I feel that I shall be able to take up my cross in a religious spirit soon, and then it will be all right. My daughter had been married just a year or two when her husband said something to me which amazed me. He pointed to his wife across the room and he said, "That woman never complains." And my heart swelled with pride, thinking what a wonderful job I had done as her mother. And the Lord smote me then instantly to heart, reminding me that she didn't learn that from me, because I am a complainer. I was a born complainer. And I hope, God helping me, that I'm not doing as much of it as I used to. But I remembered that she grew up with Indians for the first 8 years of her life, which certainly were by far the most crucial years of her life. And she just learned that you don't complain. Children were always stepping on thorns, not just children. We all had to go barefoot all the time because you can't wear shoes where it's mud up to your knees. And we stepped on thorns and we got stung on the foot by caterpillars, and we stepped on a hot coal once in a while in the house. And there were all sorts of things. We had mist and mud and mold and mildew and mosquitoes and vampire bats and piranhas, you know, those fierce fish in the rivers that are supposed to be able to clean a man's skeleton right down to nothing in about 10 minutes. Electric eels, alligators were all in the river that we swam in. But these little troubles, such as stepping on thorns or hot coals, nobody made a big fuss about. And you know why your children complain so much? They learned that. Think about it. It is learned behavior. And endurance is learned behavior. My husband and my daughter and her husband and my oldest grandson were visiting the Alcas on the Cotoday River, not very far from where five men had been killed in 1956. Our host and hostess were Steve Saint, son of Nate Saint, the pilot, who had also been killed. Steve and his wife, Jenny, have established a little sort of a village on the Cotoday River. And during our 2 days there, we saw the Indians lowering a dugout canoe from what I would guess was about maybe a 25 or 30 foot cliff down into the river. A very touchy job. It's a very, very heavy thing. And after they had accomplished that part of it, then here came an Indian down this absolutely oil-slick, steep descent of mud from the top down to the river, carrying this huge motor, outboard motor, on his shoulder. I couldn't even imagine how he would do it. No complaints, no anybody patting him on the back for a great job done. I mean, we stood there just agog to think that anybody could walk down that steep incline at all without falling, let alone walking down with a motor on his back. Now, I didn't learn the lessons there as well as I should have, and for that I'm ashamed. But over the years since then, God has been teaching me things, and I pass on to you the suggestion that maybe we need to bear patiently and endure. The world would be a brighter place if there wasn't so much complaining and so much self-pity. A lesson that Amy Carmichael taught me through one of her poems in her beautiful little poetry book, Toward Jerusalem. In acceptance lieth peace. And there are a good many things in life that we cannot change. There's some things we can change which we ought to change. There's some things which we can change which we ought not to try to change. For example, ladies, our husbands. We would, most of us can probably think of one or two tiny suggestions that we might like to make to our husbands, slight improvements that would change our lives. But that's one of those things that we might be able to change a little bit, but we ought not to, because it is not our business. But just think of the multitude of things in our lives which cannot be changed. You cannot change the fact that your child has become a wayward child and you can't do anything with him and he's gone off and you don't know where he is. I couldn't change the fact that I had become a widow and that I was now running a jungle station by myself. We cannot change the weather. I remember years ago when we used to listen to the radio as a very great treat. I remember when we got our very first radio, and we didn't listen to it very often, but my father would give us permission once in a while, and I remember hearing a black choir, and they used to sing a song about some folks have the sunshine while the others have the rain, but God don't change the weather just cause the folks complain. And I have never forgotten that. Acceptance, as Samuel Rutherford put it, is framing our hearts to the burden. Framing our hearts to the burden. We are the ones to make the adjustments when something happens that cannot be changed, that we don't like. And with the Indians, there was such acceptance of the terrible weather that we had that there was no vocabulary. I never found any vocabulary for complaining about the weather in any of the Indian languages that I had to learn. They never made any comments about it. It could be pouring rain, but what's the difference? And while we were visiting Steve, there were some torrential rains. And I stood there in his fairly comfortable house. It's a board house with a tarp for a roof. And I looked down, and here's a little hut very close to his house where there were five or six Indian women, a couple of them very old, decrepit Indian women. And they just wandered out of the house into the pouring rain. I mean, it was coming down in sheets. No attention to it whatsoever. Just, this is the way life is. Acceptance. Framing one's heart to the burden. Perhaps you're in a work situation that you would love to get out of, or you would love to change. Maybe you have a very unreasonable boss. Maybe you have been treated unjustly by somebody, one of your neighbors, one of your relatives. Can you change the fact that it happened? No. Is it something that you can and ought to do something about? Perhaps. But on the other hand, perhaps not. And that's our opportunity to frame our hearts to the burden. Here's a little quotation from a man named Roy Lesson. I've come across his name several times. I don't know anything about him. I gather he's a contemporary. This is what he says. A woman once fretted over the usefulness of her life. She feared she was wasting her potential being a devoted wife and mother. She wondered if the time and energy she invested in her husband and children would make a difference. At times, she got discouraged because so much of what she did seemed to go unnoticed and unappreciated. Is it worth it? She often wondered. Is there something better that I could be doing with my time? It was during one of these moments of questioning that she heard the still, small voice of her Heavenly Father speak to her heart. You are a wife and mother because that is what I have called you to do. Much of what you do is hidden from the public eye, but I notice. Most of what you give is done without remuneration, but I am your reward. Your husband cannot be the man I have called him to be without your support. Your influence upon him is greater than you think and more powerful than you will ever know. I bless him through your service and honor him through your love. Your children are precious to me, even more precious than they are to you. I have entrusted them to your care to raise for me. What you invest in them is an offering to me. You may never be in the public spotlight, but your obedience shines as a bright light before me. Continue on. Remember, you are my servant. Do all to please me. Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, has a large plaque in her kitchen that says, Divine Service Conducted Here 3 Times Daily. Women's work is not the kind of work that anybody is going to notice as long as you do it. Everybody is going to notice if you don't do it. Acceptance of the place where God has put us. Psalm 16:5 says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup and have made my lot secure. You have assigned me my portion. Have you learned how to frame your heart to the burden? To adjust your thinking and to say, yes, Lord, I receive this, I accept it. And I will receive it with both hands in your name and for your glory. It'll make a very big difference in your life.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.